So this is part two, leprechauns, trees. So we were talking about communicating with them and how the timeline is different and how their, in a sense, thoughts and what's really important to them is all different, just like it is different for us. They don't have the meaning that we have to life. Environmental issues don't exist for them in a sense. They have things where food becomes more plentiful and less plentiful. They've been with the earth for thousands of years, a lot of them. There's new ones. There's some that apparently, from what I've been told, no longer exist. But there's new ones that come around, that appear. There's some that have been around for thousands of years. They've been in different places. According to what I understand, they move with their food just like humans do. The world, the energy, and everything changes from year to year, from 100 years, from, you know, 1,000 years. Everything changes. What used to be forest is now desert. What was desert is now under the water. What was under the water is now forest or mountains. So it all changes. And in a sense, they perceive their environment in according to that. There are different ones that, when we talk about burning up oil in our engines and that, there are ones that don't even see that as unbeneficial, as pollution, because they see the earth so differently. And the environment that they're in, they really see that as part of the entire structure. And this is in part where I first came across the idea that perhaps what we've done with the oil, burning it up in our engines, wasn't totally an accident. It was actually, in a sense, sort of, we were directed to it. Because in part, there was a lot of buildup of it. And in nature, we have a balancing effect. And nature will take whatever is available to create the balancing effect. And we've become, in a sense, the balancing effect, excuse my words, where we use up the oil and we change it. And the environment changes a little bit, yes. The air gets a little bit more gaseous for a while, but these things have happened even with volcanoes blowing up in much greater quantities. This has happened also with huge quantities of animals on the planet, creating gases that animals produce, cows, cattle, large animals, and so forth. So there's huge changes. Now, some of this communication, I couldn't directly, in a sense, communicate with some of these beings because we're just too separate in our understanding. And this is kind of where the leprechaun came in, because he's one step closer, so he becomes sort of the middle ground. He understands kind of my language and how I perceive things, or was learning to understand, and I was learning to understand how he perceives things. And so this communication was created, and this is where I could learn a bit of, not totally how they perceive things, but that not everything is bad. Not everything we do is necessarily bad. And there's a lot of direction that's done that we don't even realize it. There are other beings on this planet that we would consider closer to humans than even the leprechauns. They're just a vibrational tone out, and not even that far. That's kind of the funny part, really. See, you have sounds that a dog can hear, but we cannot hear. It won't be long Once we understand and we stop our fearfulness, then pretty soon we can create cameras and equipment that can actually photograph them. Just like we can now create equipment that can hear sounds that the dog can hear. And we can change that sound so that we can hear it. The machine picks up that sound, changes it to vibration where we can hear it so we know it's there. We still can't hear the actual sound, but we can translate it into a sound we can hear. And this is the why I say when we go out in the woods, you'll only be able to perceive that which doesn't scare you, because some have forms. They're still almost gaseous in a vibrational unintensity that they can actually move through objects that are more solid, but they have enough of a form that you can perceive them and you would feel you're in a horror movie. And my wife used to make fun of me because I'm scared of the dark. I won't go in the woods in the dark. It scares the hell out of me. And let me tell you something. If you can see what I can see at certain times, you wouldn't go into the woods at night because it scares the crap out of you. Now, I know they're not going to harm me. They can't harm me. And they can't harm me even if they wanted to, because I have a certain amount of protection. And that's another story. But still, it scares you. Just like when you go to a horror movie. You're watching a movie. You know it's not real. It's not even existing. It's just on a screen that's lit up by a light bulb from a piece of plastic that it goes through. And yet you're in a theater and you're scared. It scares you. Goosebumps go up your back. I mean, your skin. You have ripples up your back. You know, the same thing happens to a person when you're out there and you begin to ask to perceive them. So you got to be a little bit more careful maybe what you ask for, because you don't really want to see everything. So if you go into the woods, you may see a leprechaun. I'm not going to say you won't, because it wouldn't really be fair to say that. But generally, you probably wouldn't. But you can sense. The beginning stages would be to sense that they're there. Then, in your mind, allow them to be in a certain form. In other words, the ones that fit the leprechaun part. These are beings, and they belong in a category, and those are the ones we now call, let's say, leprechauns. You tell your mind to give you the image of those ones in the form of a leprechaun. What your subconscious mind will simply do is change the shape of that cloud that you will then begin to perceive in the form of a leprechaun, and it can even color it in. That helps them, if they so choose, to make a certain amount of contact with you to whatever level they desire at the time, if you can even get their attention. They then will perceive what you're sort of trying to see, and at that same token will assist in putting themselves into that form, if they've learned some form of ability. It's like going up to someone who's never even heard the word meditation and saying, could you please sit down and meditate? If they've never heard the word sit down, if they've never heard the word please, none of what you just said, it would all sound like babble, 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 bubble, bubble, babble, bubble, babble. That's what it would sound like. So the communication level is more on a feeling sense at first. And then, really, it's for you to learn how they perceive. And the best way to learn to perceive is forget about the environmental issues. and all that other stuff, because they're not so at it. They don't have newsletters that go out every week and news reporters and global warming, global warming, global warming, global warming. You know, they don't have that. They see the environment changing, and they see that as part of the whole, as part as it should be. See, we fear change. They don't fear change quite as much. It's common for them. It's common for them to have entire forests wiped out and have it nothing to do with man. They know that in time a forest will become a grassland, a marshland, an ocean, and their time is different than our time is. The equivalent of that leprechaun that I talk about in my book, age, we talked about a long, for years, about age. He couldn't even fully comprehend age when I talked to them, because age means a timeline for me. It's a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And the year relates to seasons. And you would think he relates to seasons, but he doesn't really relate to seasons. He relates to something else in the universe that times just like the sun, but in a broader scope. Actually, I'll put that little piece in there in a minute. It's kind of an interesting piece. So it took us a long, long time to kind of work something out. But in equivalent, he was roughly about 1,200 years old. So that's how long he was around. So you can imagine how much changes he's seen in the world and in the environment and the places where he was living. So changes, you know, if I were to say, how come the weather's changing? You would get more of a blank stare than anything else, because he wouldn't really understand that. I mean, later on towards the end, yes, he did understand it, but early on there wasn't that understanding. He was different. I could talk for a lot of hours on the stages, and I think someday I will, and it will take a lot of time. I will have to sit there and remember it, really, and there's a lot to remember. But anyway, time-wise, because we look at it as a sun, but there is another sun that we so don't perceive. And our entire solar system, pretend it's a planet and it's orbiting a sun. But the solar system in itself, so vast, with all the solar systems that are kind of there, a whole bunch of them, orbiting a particular type of sun that radiates out. And we are actually, we're in its shadow for the last 1,000 years. And are now coming into its lighted situation. In other words, it's sort of like our day. We were in the dark side for basically 1,000 years and now coming into the light side. So a lot of the weather and global warming changes will and are about that. Some scientists are noticing something. There's things changing with light. Some things are happening. It's almost like the speed of light is changing, but it's not. Because light is a vibration and a wave at the same time, and there's some changes happening. And these changes are occurrences in the sense to that sun. That sun is too far away for us to perceive, and it's of a little bit of a different vibrational pattern. We will learn to perceive it like we learn everything else in time. But at this point, we don't fully know it's even there. So, this is his timeline, in a sense. He more times with that than the seasons. See, that never did fully make sense to me. But, there it is. I mean, I would have, I said it to him over and over, you gotta know seasons. He says, of course I know that he understands the seasons when the woods freeze up. But, it's not really a season for him as like it is for us. And we could never really get the full understanding back and forth across because they see things differently in a more vibrational note and finer. I mean, he can see the inside and the outside of a tree. We can't do that. We can cut a tree open. We still see the layer. We don't see the inside. We can't. No matter how we do it. See, he can, inside and outside. So, how he perceives things is different. So as you think about that, and now you understand a little bit more the shapes that they're in and how they think about it, just leave the environmental issues and all those guilt things you think about and talk about out. Some things, chemical fertilizers, there's some issues there. But there are some beings apparently that have problems. Some are unbothered by it. So there you go. But the idea is you want to communicate, not really bring your guilt feelings and shame about ruining environment. And a lot of people who want to go in the woods and hug trees and talk to trees and talk to environment, they seem to have guilt and shame about what we do to the environment. And so when you bring that with you, it really hinders you because it has no meaning there. And it has no meaning to them. I think we should do one more tape about talking to trees, because if we take one item and discuss how to, in a sense, communicate or perceive what might be going on with a tree, and I actually have a bit of a story I can expand on with some trees and how they can perceive some things that we bring in. They won't understand them, but I can sort of explain how they perceive them. See, you can bring fear into the woods. They won't fully understand what you fear, but your fear is kind of understood. And if it's accepted, it actually draws things to them. So if you hug a tree totally afraid that this tree is going to be cut down, and this tree accepts that vibrational fear from you and takes it in, it has more of a magnetic effect than most humans do because you're not so used to consciously attracting what you want. We're just learning that, but trees know that very well, and they're very focused. And they're focused for long stretches. It's like you thinking, well, one thing for days, totally focused, totally relaxed, no stress, no strain, you're just one focus, one feeling for days. If you could maintain that, you'd be amazed how fast you could create anything you wanted. But when a tree accepts that from you, they then will end up virtually creating the very thing that you're afraid of happening. So that's why you want to leave that stuff when you go see the trees. Let go of the world you kind of live in and step into their world. I mean, if you want to go into the woods and unburden yourself and just ramble on to let it all out, hey, go ahead. Chances are, hardly anybody will pay any attention to you. Because your vibrational taste won't be very good. And you'll find the trees and energy around you will shrink away. You'll find those beings that you so want to perceive will move away. Because you'll kind of taste a little bit on the sour side. Yet if you go in feeling good and thankful for this wonderful place and allow yourself to just radiate with love, you'll begin to taste good in a sense. And many of those beings will actually be able to absorb it as kind of a food. Almost, food isn't the right word, dessert would be a better word. They will find this vibration very, of love, you radiating out, very interesting, and they'll be attracted to it. And you'll find yourself surrounded by them. And then, remember to tell yourself to perceive that which is what is comfortable for you to perceive. Remember, perceive that which is comfortable for you to perceive. And then the rest will be erased. Your subconscious mind will just block out the rest. You can deal with that some other time. Anyway, I think the next tape possibly we'll talk about some more communicating with trees and communicating in a sense with them, not enforcing our communication on them, because you'll find it won't work very well. Most of what you say will fall on deaf ears unless you begin to speak in their language and their understanding of how this world is. There are a few trees, just like a few leprechauns, that sort of been around for a long time and have had great interest, and so have greater understanding. And those ones are, again, ones you can communicate on a bit different level with. But in most of the forest, you have to communicate in their level. Just like you wouldn't go into the jungle to an Aboriginal tribe who knows nothing absolutely about the Western world. Probably, let's just for the heck of it say, they've never even seen an outside person, and you're going to talk to them about engine parts. Well, they don't even have it in their language. There's just nothing to relate. There won't even be interest because there's nothing to relate. You'll just be babbling. You might as well stick your head in water and blow bubbles. Actually, you'd get more interest that way. Anyway, I hope I made that clear. It's very hard to explain all that. I have a hard time putting it in words. It's not so easy. And as you maybe go into the woods or sit by a tree and begin to practice it more of this understanding, you probably realize it's not quite that easy, and it takes a little bit of practice, a little bit of determination, a little bit of will. Or have society shun you to such a degree that virtually you have nothing else left but that. Either one of those two will work. Anyway, see you next time.